From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines next hour with a creepy hotline. I'll tell you about that later. Welcome new affiliates to the ever-growing Coast to Coast list. KSUBAM in Cedar City, Utah. WHISAM in Bluefield, West Virginia. And yes, WONWAM in Defiance, Ohio. Glad to have you with us with a very fascinating program. Well, millions of us will lose an hour's sleep Saturday night as clocks are turned ahead to daylight saving time. Don't forget. Some other people will forget. They'll be an hour late for church or other activities on Sunday. Officially, clocks should be moved ahead 1 hour at 2 a.m. on Sunday. But most of us do the job before we hit the sack, don't we? The lost hour will return on October 29th when the clocks go back to standard time. However, Congress has passed a law changing the dates of daylight saving time, but it doesn't take effect until 2007. Then daylight time will start 3 weeks earlier, March 11th, and will end 1 week later on November 4th. Residents of some parts of the country can ignore all of this since daylight saving time isn't observed in Arizona, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, American Samoa, Guam, and those of you that may hear us in the Northern Marianas. In Nevada, plans for a Pentagon-led experiment that involves detonating 700 tons of explosives in the desert drew criticism from state leaders. We talked about this last night, how there will be a mushroom cloud over Las Vegas. The explosion is now scheduled for June 2nd, if you want to circle that on your calendar, at the Nevada test site. And it's part of an effort to design a weapon that can penetrate solid rock formations in which a country might store nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction. I wonder why we just don't try this out in Iraq or Afghanistan, but they're going to do it here. The Nevada test site spokesperson, Darwin Morgan, said the test will be conducted about 90 miles northwest of Las Vegas, near the center of the former nuclear testing site. The test, named Divine Strike, will involve nearly 40 times the amount of commercial ammonium nitrate and fuel oil explosive set off in the largest open-air non-nuclear blast at the site to date. A few years ago, 18 tons of explosives were set off at the Nevada test site. At least 70 people now have been killed, 980 injured by several earthquakes in western Iran. This was going on while we were on the air last night. The quakes with magnitudes of up to 6 centered on remote villages. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has admitted the United States has made thousands of tactical errors in Iraq, but said that it has the right to remove Saddam Hussein, and it made a good move there. Mrs. Rice's comments came after she delivered a major foreign policy speech in the United Kingdom. Her visit was sparked with anti-war protests in the northwestern area of that region. The use of mobile phones over a long period of time, they say, can raise the risk of brain tumors, according to a new Swedish study, contradicting the conclusions of other researchers. So here it goes. The Dutch Health Council, in an overview of research from around the world, last year found no evidence radiation from mobile phones and TV towers as being harmful. A 4-year British survey released in January showed no link between regular long-term use of cell phones and the most common type of tumor. However, researchers at the Swedish National Institute for Working Life say they looked at the mobile phone use of 905 people between the age of 20 and 80 who had been diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, and they say they found a link. They say a total of 85 of these 905 cases were so-called high users of mobile phones. That is, they began early to use mobile or wireless telephones, and they used them a lot. The study also shows that the risk in noticeable for tumors on the side of the head where the phone was said to be used. A fellow by the name of Kjell Meld, who led the study, said the figures meant that heavy users of mobile phones, for instance, who make mobile phone calls for 2,000 hours or more in their life, which most of us probably do, had a 240% increased risk of a malignant tumor on the side of the head that the phone is used. He said that the way to get the risk down is to use hands-free. I saw someone walking their dog today in a park, and they took the chain off the dog and they let the animal run off. And she said, stop. And the dog stopped and turned around and looked at the owner. And they somehow had this telepathy between them because she would just look at the dog and the dog would come or sit down. And once she just got into it, she didn't have to say anything. Well, in a moment, we're going to talk with the Reverend Renee Caron. Your animals are talking to you. She communicates with animals with her very unique gift. This is going to be fascinating. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Reverend Renee Caron is a non-denominational minister with a unique gift to communicate with animals, living or deceased. Through this extraordinary gift, she can acquire accurate information concerning your animal and even particular knowledge about your life that your pet is aware of and wants you to know. She has been in the healing arts for more than 40 years, studying intensive metaphysical workshops in Egypt, Peru, and Greece. As a minister, she'll help a lot of people with the loss of their pet by a loving memorial service followed by grief counseling. She is our guest this hour on Coast to Coast. Hello, Reverend. How are you?
I'm fine, George. I'm so thrilled to be with you all today.
Well, likewise. You know, we have such a huge audience of animal lovers of all kinds, cats, birds, dogs, fish, you name it. They love animals on this program, Renee, and I'm glad you're with us. Tell me a little bit about this gift. How did you acquire it?
This is definitely a gift. You know how sometimes you'll hear somebody, they maybe can play piano by ear. All of a sudden, a child picks up a brush and all of a sudden paints. Okay? Well, it happened a little different for myself. I was never brought up with animals, ever.
You mean a kid with no animals?
Absolutely. I did have a turtle. I can't remember. I did have a turtle.
Yeah, I had one, too.
That's the only thing I ever had.
Bit me on the finger, and I still have the mark, I think.
But this is really a beautiful story because my mom just didn't like animals, you know, so we never had them. Then my sister had a beautiful little dog. I think it was like about a year old, and she was moving. And they asked my parents if they would just watch it for a month. So Cookie, from 1 month, stayed for 15 years. And that's how I discovered an animal, but still I didn't have what you call a connection with it. She was a nice animal, and, you know, I'd take her to the groomers. But when she was 15 years old, one day I looked in her eyes, and I knew something was going to happen. I knew she was going to die. That was the first time something like that happened to me. And being a minister, I was getting ready for a wedding ceremony that day. And then I went upstairs, took a nap, and all of a sudden, true as I am saying right now, I heard a voice. And the voice said to me, your angels are taking Cookie. And the first thing I said, an angel taking a dog? You know, I went downstairs and she was gone.
Oh.
And then the next day, it was winter. It was just before her birthday. Exactly, I saw maybe 6 months before, an exact duplicate of what I'm telling you right now. And this is what's so scary about everything. And then I had I have a friend named Rich, and I asked him to come and help me bury the dog right by my house. And it was winter again, and people said, no, there's no way. I found a place, but I said, I had that wedding ceremony to do. And all of a sudden, the bride and groom called me up. They couldn't find the license. So they were giving me 4 more hours.
And they're panicking, right?
Yeah.
Where's my license?
That's okay for them. But all of a sudden, I got the right people to be at the right time.
Yeah.
And then a week later, I decided to have a memorial service. Now, none of my friends ever been to an animal service before. I've never done one before. And there's about 18 of us. And we did a beautiful service. They were singing, everything, just to give closure. But during that time, I found out something. A lot of the people never had closure with their animals, maybe when they were 5 years old. Okay, mommy bought them another one. They never grieved. People were grieving for things that were like 30, 40 years ago. It was miraculous. It really
was. Well, as you know, Renee, people grieve for their animals as much as they do for their loved human being friends.
And probably more.
You know,
because they deserve more. They really do.
When I was about 21 years old as a reporter, I did a story in Detroit of an animal cemetery. I've never been to a memorial service for an animal, but I did go to an animal cemetery. And I've got to tell you, it's a strange feeling walking around an animal cemetery because you can feel the vibration
Absolutely.
Of those deceased animals.
Right. Absolutely. And what happened was the week when I had this, there was a reporter in my house, and he was a friend of mine. He said, I think you should let people know that you can do memorial service so that there's closure for people and do grief counseling as a minister. That was the only reason I'm doing this. And so it was in my local newspaper. They came down and did a nice article. Then one day, someone called me and said, you're a healer. Can you heal my horse? And I thought they were, you know, laughing at me or something. It was a joke. And I had a feeling, a real feeling, to go see this person like 2 hours away from me. He was willing to bring his horse all the way. I live in Niagara Falls, New York, to come down here. Instead, I went there, and that's when it all started. When I saw this horse, I went into some kind of a trance. I could tell the owner and the trainer where he was hurting, and that's how it started. Then it went from a horse to a dog and cats, and I'm the voice for the animals. And it's not a game with me. It's a very serious business because your animals know all your secrets. And when an animal is hurting, sometimes like maybe the animal will be, you know, misbehave. They're angry or they're sick, or pretty soon you're going to be having somebody, maybe a new baby, and everybody's disturbed or agitated, you know. And all of a sudden, if they call me, maybe because the animals are chewing your furniture, carpets, whatever that their mood is, I'll come in. And 99% of the time, it's all to do with the people in the house.
Why do animals become so receptive to earth changes, like earthquakes? We know what happened during the tsunami in Indonesia, where elephants and other animals went for the high ground way before the tsunami hit. How do they have that perception?
Because they have a sixth sense higher than we do. It's that extraordinary gift. If God were to take us right now and not see our physical forms, just the souls, and I believe animals have souls, they have a much higher intelligence and a higher visual and audible type of feeling. That's the only thing. And I know this because, you know, an animal can be 3,000 miles away and find their home. Sometimes we can find it around the corner. They're very, very, very perceptive. And they go and they're very quiet. And it doesn't matter what type of animal. You know, we say the cats are better, the dogs are better, by squirrels. I mean, I have all kinds. And they're just, when you go, I go with the souls. I don't go in their minds. And I don't have that ability to read symbols in an animal. That's not my gift. The gift is truly the soul.
I have a friend who was dating a woman in Los Angeles. And her animal had died way before they met. And she visits this, cemetery. Every week and brings a dozen white roses.
Wow.
Now, and that's not too bad, but she also, and this is, I find this to be a little strange.
Okay.
She also kind of like throws herself on the grave
and sits
there or just lays there
for
hours crying. Now, that's too much, isn't it?
Much too much, and that's almost a sickness. Because there's more involved than just the pet dying, okay? There's something, we'll go back into her childhood, abandonment of some issue. There's something more all the time. This is where I help people with the grief counseling and try to tell them that truly there's a place for animals. The animals can be here only maybe 10 years. After cats, it can be longer. Horses, much longer. They come to help us. Their whole purpose is to show us unconditional love. That's it. Now, when somebody's grieving like that, it's not normal. It's not normal. No.
How do you break somebody of that? What do you tell her?
Well, first, I would because I can be very in tune. I do phone readings this way, you know, all the time. And I would first just get into her and find out exactly, I would go back to what really is bothering her before this all happened. That was the last straw. It could have been her father could have died, or all kinds of circumstances. Then I will let them know that when you cry for an animal, it's just like a human. They see from the other side. They visit you. My dog, I saw for 3 years, and I know that this exists, believe me.
You mean like a ghost dog?
Oh, yes. In fact, when Cookie, like I said, I could care less before, and I'm being very honest. And I was allergic to animals. I had a friend, same Rich. If I went by his house, and we did seminars, the minute the cat came to me, the eyes would water. Get your cat out of here, all the time. This is like 15 years worth, and just that tone. Okay, so I'm one of those people. And then one day, when I found out what I was doing, all of a sudden I saw him sitting there, and I said, his name was Guido, and I said, Guido. I said, you know, he's like a stuffed animal sitting there like the world's passing him by. So I told Rich, I said, Richie, he needs another animal. I said, he's bored. And so he went to the SPCA and he got him one. And then they were fighting. So he called me back and he said, it's all your fault. You wanted me to get this animal. And I had him on my lap. And first he looks at me, and I can hear him say, oh, it's about time you acknowledge me. You always threw me away, you know. And then I said to him, Guido, the other cat is not for your master. He's for you. He didn't get him for a playmate for himself to replace you. This is your cat. I swear to God, and he would call you and tell you that. 5 minutes later, the cat went down with that, Shotsky's name was. They've been friends now for 3 years. In now, 5 minutes' time.
You pick up, of course, on animals when they're alive. You pick up on them when they've deceased.
Yes.
What about human beings? Do you have that ability with people?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. But I, you know what I find? The animals are my way to get into people's homes. Because you know yourself, if there's men and women, there are a lot of people that want to go to readers, especially the men, you know, some of them are a little more enlightened. So for me, let's, for instance, I went to somebody's house, and my partner is a veterinarian, okay? So he's like credibility type when I go, but really I do all the work. And I say I went into this one house, and I never met the people before. It was a mother and a daughter and a sweet little terrier. And as soon as I walked in, I says, will you allow me to say what I feel, what your dog is telling me? He says, yes. I go to the teenage girl. The first thing I say to her is, you're afraid that your parents are going to get a divorce. Well, she starts crying. Now that the husband and wife are looking like a white elephant walked in, okay? Because nobody talks about this. So the animal kept going back and forth with me and, you know, saying I was correcting this. And the next thing I was there for 3 straight hours, shook up the whole place, literally. And they had to face the greatest fears that they had. And this is wonderful because after that, they started going for counseling. But unfortunately, 2 weeks after, the dog died.
Oh.
His beautiful soul. They'll die for you. An animal literally will die for you. If you don't mind me taking another story, because this is how I can help people. There was a cat that came over, and the cat was 8 years old, and she came to my house, and all of a sudden she started groaning like a wounded animal. I never heard this in my life, groaning. And then all of a sudden I turned around, and I have a picture of it. The way she was sitting, there was a heart shape. And I said to the owner, I said, she's telling me she has a broken heart. What has happened to this animal in the last 2 years? Her son died, and that was his cat.
Yeah,
he was
close.
Holding this in for 2 years. And I do healing, and the cat was fine after that.
Do you
after story.
Do you believe in reincarnation of animals?
Absolutely. Can I tell you what a real good reincarnation story?
Yeah, tell me that when we come back, okay? We're going to take this break. Reverend Renee Caron, she's the author of Your Animals Are Talking to You. Are you listening? We'll also open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to chat with her. Hey, the April edition of the After Dark newsletter includes a very lengthy interview with Alex Jones, Mr. Alternative Media. You can get 14 issues for the price of 12. Couple ways, of course. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online, coasttocoastam.com. When we come right back, we'll continue our discussion with the Reverend Renee Caron. We're going to find out a little bit about animal reincarnation, and we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with the Reverend Renee Caron, our guest. Her book is Your Animals Are Talking to You. Are you listening? Caron, you're going to tell us a reincarnation story before.
Yeah, this is a fun thing. There was a German shepherd by the name of Honey. And I met her. I had a baptism. And the lady came and said, could I see her dog? You know, and it's just after. I said, okay. The dog had some kind of a rash, so I helped her with the rash. And about a month later, she called and said, can you come down? I want you to meet somebody from California. I says, okay. Well, I sat with the dog. Sometimes I do a scan an animal. That's how I scan, you know, and I find things. I find cold spots, and I know there's something not right. So when I was scanning him, I says, something's wrong with this dog. I said, you'll have to take him to a vet. And when she did, he had cancer. So she took this dog all over with her. Then she called me about 2 months later, and he lost about 50 pounds. And she was going to take him to Las Vegas on a vacation. And while she's making all these attempts to call people, I stopped her and said, this dog can't go anyplace. I said, how am I going to tell her about her dog's going to die, you know? I says, he can't even stand up. She says, oh, yes, he can. I says, I see another part he can't. And I said, do me a favor, take him to the vet. I says, because he has to have immediate attention.
Yeah.
And when she did the next day, she did to put him to sleep. Now, before we did this, I said to him, I said, honey, I want to ask you a question, and I can help you to make your transition much more peaceful, meaning I call the needle of peace, okay?
Yeah.
Instead of waiting a dog to be in such pain. And I said, do me a favor. And I don't have any idea about breeds of dogs or parts of the animal whatsoever, okay? I asked him to put his left ear down. Now, I didn't even know this was possible. And people tell me it isn't. But he put his left ear down for me that he wanted me to do this. And half hour later, I had the owner do the same thing. Same thing happened. So then she knew. I says, he knows that she wants to go. And so the doctor came, you know, gave her the needle. About 2 weeks later, she said she wanted another German Shepherd. And I saw it in the paper, and I called her, but she already went. And instead of having like a three-month-old German Shepherd, two new Shepherds were being born. So she bought both of them. She called one Honey and one Brandy. And so I went down to see them, and now it's Brandy, but Brandy really is Honey, because guess what? He's born with the ear down.
That's funny.
And recognized me immediately.
Did you tell the owner that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she's still trying to get the ear up. And I says, well, I can help you with it, but we never got a chance to do that. Definitely, definitely. And there was another German Shepherd, and same thing. And it was with German Shepherds, but with all kinds of dogs. And it was my partner's dog. Before the dog actually came into being, I saw in my mind's eye. You know how sometimes you see something in your mind's eye?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw a German Shepherd, with roses coming down.
All my guests have been sick, by the way, lately. I've had 4 guests in the last week and a half, and all of them are coming down with something.
What's your animals now?
No, with my guests.
With your guests? Oh, I know
my
that.
Guests, my guests are sick.
I heard that last time somebody had, the other
They're
day,
all
that
ill.
They had a real bad. I know. Well, we don't want to talk about it because I'll start. going back to this German Shepherd, I saw roses coming down. And I thought it was another, and he said, you know, he says, I said, you have to get yourself a dog. So he went all the way to Ohio, and I told him the kind of dog he was going to get. Out of all, it's like FBI farm. There were 13 dogs. I said, you're going to find him, but she'll be very shy, very demure, and she's going to, like, look at you and forget you. Like, you know, she's more, she knows what she wants. He saw the dog, but he was afraid maybe it's not the right dog. He held it, and he went back. He brought the dog back that very day. Now, mostly the dogs would be crying, you know, never yeah. cried. All the time he was in the house, never cried. But the very next day, he tipped the bowl down. He was 4 months old. Excuse me. yeah, this is going to happen.
This is live radio, Reverend.
I know. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what happens, the dog sees his face. In the bowl, and that's what this other dog used to do, and the other dog's name was Rose, and that's where the roses came, and that's exactly how she from the time she was 4 months old, she knows everybody.
Let's go to the phones. We'll take some calls. Give you a little break too, by the way.
Okay.
When the callers are calling, and let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, was that me, Katrina?
It is you, wherever
Hi.
You are.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, I am calling because I, within the last couple of months, lost my dog, Maggie. She actually drowned, and that was a really very difficult thing, of course.
Sure.
What interested me was when your guest said that she can sometimes, you know, feel things from animals who have passed on. And the interesting thing about Maggie was that I had had her for 8 years, and in over Thanksgiving weekend she somehow came down with something, got very sick, stopped eating. For about 3 weeks we couldn't get her to eat or anything, and finally the doctors didn't know what was wrong with her. And my mom said, well, maybe it's just her time.
It is, yeah.
You need to let her go. And so I said a prayer and decided, you know, honey, if you need to go, it's okay. You can go. My husband and I came, I'm trying to make this quick. My husband and I came home from being out and saw her. She didn't respond to our call. I touched her. She felt cold. And I thought, and her eyes weren't closed all the way. And I thought maybe that was it. She's gone. So I said a prayer thanking God that she was, you know, part of our family for that time. And if there's a doggy heaven or a real heaven, that would be great. And if there's not, I was just happy that she was part of our lives. And I reached down to touch her again, and she, like, shuddered and came back. And that night she started eating again, and then she was more healthy than ever for about a month, just healthy as all get out, running up the stairs again until the day she drowned.
Oh, my.
And, and I couldn't figure out, okay, I was so ready to let her go, and now she is gone. You know, then she just drowned, and it was kind of, I mean, we have other dogs, and we're pretty sure it was an accident that she was only a 4-pound Yorkshire Terrier. And
my little Maggie.
That was so
sure.
beautiful. Can I tell you one thing?
Yes. Tell me anything.
your love for the dog. She wanted to stay longer with you because of it.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs can do this because they love you so much, literally, they'll die for you, or they'll regain themselves just to be with you. Then after that, she couldn't, but she's going to come back. I feel she's going to come back. Sometimes they don't come back as a dog. They might come back as a cat, but I feel something. How long ago was this now?
It was January 23rd.
Okay, January. Okay. Let me just tune in a minute.
What are you doing there, Renee?
I'm just tuning in for a minute and see if I can get a hold of Maggie for a second.
Okay.
And she's going to come through to you through somebody else. Like all of a sudden, I feel more like a cat though this time. Do you like cats at all?
Well, I would prefer that it not be a cat because, as you mentioned, allergies before, and we've always had cats with just, you know, not staying in the litter box, so to speak.
Well, this one would be, It would be perfectly beautiful. You wouldn't have any allergies whatsoever. You know why it's going to come? It's going to be able to now. How old was she when she died?
She was 12.
Well, she was a good age. She was still a good age. Yeah, and I think sometimes animals will come to stay longer. It'll be like a cat. They could live in 20-some years, too, you know. Uh-huh. So they will come back to you.
Yeah.
Because they had such a beautiful home. But she had the point where she... See, they're not afraid. There is definitely a heaven. Definitely a heaven for them.
Animals are not afraid of
dying? Absolutely never afraid. They're never afraid to die because they know, they believe where they're going to come and come back again. And some don't come back. But most of them do.
Why do so many animals, Renee, like my friend had a cat, it went off and died. So many people that I know whose animals are about ready to die, the animals leave. They run away and they never come back.
And you know why? Because most of the time, the people can't take it.
And they don't want
to.
They don't want to.
Just like, you know, even humans. They'll die, you know, you're around them 24 hours a day, and then all of a sudden you leave and maybe, you know, just to go for coffee, and then they die. Especially animals, especially when people, they cry and cry and cry for them, don't die. They can't die in peace. They literally will leave the house and die. That's how they do that.
Wow, they do get attached to people, don't they?
Oh, absolutely they get attached. And I just had somebody probably listening tonight. She brought her dog over the other day. And usually I can tell you, I can go to somebody's house, and I never know why I'm going. I can go in a house, and I see a dog that's jumping and everything else, and they say, you know, your dog's going to die in 3 weeks. And they look at me like I have three heads. And that's usually exactly what happens.
Why do you tell them that?
Because, first of all, they're sick when they're calling me, okay? But they're jumping because they say, oh, well, they got extra, you know, I don't tell them unless there's a reason people call me. And most of the time, like I say, I don't know why they're calling me, but as soon as I walk in the house, like, for instance, this one was an older dog, and as soon as I walked in, I'd never been in the house, it was like somebody punched me in the stomach. And her name was Chachu, I remember. And I said to the lady, how am I going to tell this lady that her dog's going to die tomorrow? Because that was not the reason. She was depressed.
Right.
The animal was depressed. And so I said, how am I going to go? And this lady was the healer herself. She was doing healing and everything else. I was doing it. And finally, I said very nicely, I said, this animal needs to have a transition. And he said, what do you mean? What do you mean? And I said, well, it could be tomorrow. It could be a year from now. He's just getting you ready. And so she didn't want to go to the vet. I said, please take her to the vet. And then she called, and they were going to put it to sleep. And I said, whatever you do, make sure you go to the doctor. The animal needs to see you. Your last thing he wants to see is you. And a lot of people are afraid to do this.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Renee. Hi, George. This is really fine to catch you this night because I've just been driving in a driving downpour, and I dialed, and there you were. So thank you for being there.
Perfect. How can I help you?
Well, I have a story about a stallion that I met back in 1984, a special stallion over in Germany that I wasn't able to purchase, and then about 10 years later, I purchased him and brought him over to the United States. He was a very special stallion. The German people over there loved him. He was famous. I ended up with him. It was very serendipitously, very spiritually, the way the connection that we had. And he died 3 years ago. When I had him for about 6 years, I had to start driving a truck, and I wasn't able to be with him all the time. He died basically the way I feel, of a broken heart, because I wasn't able to be with him. And I was driving on the road at the time when he died. And I talked to him on the cell phone and told him goodbye. He wouldn't leave this world until he had permission from me.
Absolutely.
Basically.
Absolutely. Have you had any dreams or anything since?
Recently, I've been dreaming about horses constantly, and the other day, I had a dream that my son was riding him, and he was running and jumping and climbing through trees and galloping through trees with my son on his back. And it was unbelievable. My son was hanging on by a thread on it, by his tail, and he was running around, absolutely not slipping off of these trees. Unbelievable. And I've been dreaming of horses just all the time. And
you know what that is for? That's for you to get another one. Now, what was your horse name again?
His name was Jasb, G-A-S-B.
Wow. There's a possibility. You know, one thing that animals, I have something that maybe if I have a few minutes before the show, you know, when I'm finished, it's called The Last Will and Testament of the Beloved Pet.
Mm-hmm.
And I could read you one portion because this is just for you right now. Do you mind if I read it now?
I'll let you listen, Mark, on the radio. Go ahead, please.
Okay. This is the last will and testament of a very special companion. I, your ever faithful companion, because of my burden of my illness upon me, realize the end of my life is near. So I hereby leave you my words for my last will and testament. I have a little to give to you in a material way. So many of your human companions strive for material gain. You know this divides families at the end. There is nothing that I have to bequeath except my love and faith. These I leave to all those who have loved me. I ask for my owners to remember me always, but not to grieve for me too long. All my life I have tried to be a comfort to them in sorrow and indeed joy of their life's happiness. It is very painful for me to think that even in death I'm causing them pain. Let them know that I have had a wonderful life, and now I am growing ill and have much pain. I should not want my pride to sink to be humiliated. It is time for me to say goodbye. It will be sorrowful to leave them, but not sorrowful to die. Animals do not fear death as humans do. We accept this as part of our lives. What will become of me after death? I would like to believe that I will be in the place where I'll always be young, a place that will be a paradise for me. Some people call that heaven. Yes, animals have souls. God has a special place in heaven just for us. I have another request. Please find another animal to be at your side. I know no one can take my place, but I will feel better knowing you are taking special care of another pet. I will leave that pet my leash or my collar, my favorite pillow, or that special place in the car. It would be a poor tribute to me if no one ever followed me. One last word of farewell, dear ones. Whenever you think of me, say to yourself, with regret but also with happiness, in your heart, the remembrance of my happy life with you. Say to yourself that I was the one you loved and how much you loved me. No matter how deep my sleep, I shall hear you, and not all the power of death can keep my spirit from wagging a grateful tail. May the angels always watch over you as they watch over me. Please know that our love is eternal.
And you know, Karen, regardless of what people think about the ability to communicate with animals, you give people comfort, and that alone is worth something. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Well, thank you.
Your animals are talking to you. Are you listening? Any of you who have lost an animal, you know exactly where she's coming from. Well, in a moment, 3 hours of special open lines. I'm going to give you a special hotline for creepy phone calls. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.